Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11? I'm just so delighted to be with you this weekend. I esteem your pastor so much. I've been benefited so much from being with him just the last couple of days. I'm happy being with you. Paul said in verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled, deceived Eve through his subtlety, through his deception, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." Where is the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus? Paul said, "I fear, just as Eve was deceived by Satan, your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness, the onlyness that is in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, simplicity. If I'm given two things, it's not simple. If I'm given a choice between two things, it's not simple. It's got to be just one. Just one. You know, you only believe something. You don't choose to believe. You believe when you have no choice. No other options. It's the only thing. That's what faith is. Now, when Satan was deceiving Eve, he said, "What you are right now is a robot. You don't make choices in your virtue. You're just a robot. But if you eat of this fruit, God will give you the ability to make the choice between the good and the evil. You'll have a free will, be able to make a choice, and that's what will make you like God." That sounded plausible, didn't it? She ate the fruit, and she died. I don't know of anything much more complicated than religion. You have the seven great religions of the world: Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hindu, Buddhist, Confucianism, Taoism, and many others, all of which claim to be a way to God. Within Christianity, you have Protestant and Catholic, you have denominations, you have East, you have West, you have Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal, charismatic, non-charismatic. You have so many different denominations, all of which claim to be closest to the truth. You got Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, Presbyterians, Church of Christ, on and on, all these denominations. That's complicated. That's complex. Which one's right? Where is the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus? Even under the banner of sovereign grace, I was going on vacation recently, and I was going to a certain city, and I Googled in sovereign grace, and up came this church, this Sovereign Grace Church, and it was a charismatic church. They actually spoke in tongues and healed. Well, if that's sovereign grace, anything is. That's complicated. That's confusing. That's complex. You have a different modes of worship. Well, you can have traditional or contemporary. Take your pick. High church, low church. formal, informal, liturgical. We have preachers and reverends and pastors and rock reverends, and it's confusing. It's complicated. It's complex. We even use religious words. We call a bench a pew. We call an auditorium a sanctuary. A bowl with water in it is called a font. We have cathedrals, steeples, and spires. Where is the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus? And what about the hodgepodge of doctrines? While contradicting each other, they all claim to be true. A mixture of grace and works. A mixture's complex. It's compound. It's not simple. Where is the simplicity, the singleness that is in Christ Jesus? Regarding the question, how does God save sinners? Or what must I do to be saved? How many different answers will we get? What does salvation by grace mean? What did Christ actually accomplish on the cross? You know, religion always gives multiple answers. Yea and nay. You know, when Paul talked about that yea and nay preaching, is salvation really all of grace? Well, yes it is, but no, if you don't do your part, you'll be damned anyway. Did Christ actually accomplish salvation? Yes, He did. But if you don't know what you need to do to make what He did work, you'll be damned anyway. That's yes and no to the same thing. Yea, nay. It's not simple. It's compound. It's complex. Paul feared this corruption from the simplicity that's in Christ. He feared that for the Corinthians. I fear it for myself. I fear it for you. I fear it for the church at home. It's going to happen one of these days. You know, a local church never continues. It always goes bad at some point. I hope I'm dead when it happens at our place. But it's going to happen. A fear of the corruption from the simplicity that's in Christ. Now, how is something corrupted? If I have a glass of pure water and I put just a drop of something else in it, it's no longer pure water. It's corrupted. It's been corrupted from its simplicity. Corruption is the introduction of something else. It's addition. If you add anything, you've been corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. You were mentioning evolution. The evolutionary theory, and it is a theory, it's not founded on a verifiable fact, it has things getting more complex. That's what it does. Things become more complex. Evolution says, look how far we've come. Creation says, look how far we've fallen. Corruption is the introduction of the word and. Scripture and our traditions. Scripture and our customs. Scripture and our creeds. Scripture and our constitutions. Scripture alone. Corruption. Grace and Christ and, that all spells corruption. Corruption from the simplicity that's in Christ. Turn with me for a moment to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity, the oneness of the Spirit in the body of peace, in the bond of peace. And there's one body, the Church of the Living God. There's one Spirit, even as you're all called in one hope. There's one hope of your calling. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all who's above all and through all and in you all. One Lord. One faith. Now, there's no choice involved in simplicity. Someone says, what about that scripture where Joshua said, choose you this day whom you shall serve? Well, let's look at that for a second. Turn to Joshua chapter 24. Verse 14. Now therefore, Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if you don't want to serve the Lord, then pick your poison. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Pick your poison. You see, you got to choose error. You believe the truth because it's so. You don't choose to believe it. You believe it because it's so. You have no other choice. But you choose error. He said, pick your poison. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Now for the important part of this message, what is meant by the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus? Well, first of all, we have a very simple message. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, for I determined, I made this my objective, I made this my goal, I determined not to know, not to esteem as important anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Who He is and what He did. And nothing else is even worth talking about. Don't we need to be taught to live? You already know how to live. You know it's wrong to lie. You know it's wrong to cheat. You know sexual sin is wrong. You already know all that stuff. You were born into this world knowing that stuff. That's the work of God, the law of God written on the heart of every man. We already know how to live. I need to know how to die. And the only way I can know how to die is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, who He is. God, man, the God-man. And what He did, crucified, and what He accomplished by that crucifixion. What did the Lord accomplish when He said, it is finished? He accomplished the complete salvation of all of His elect. Everybody He died for, they're saved. Saved. You know my favorite verse of Scripture? Well, I got a lot of favorites, but this is one of them. It is finished. It is finished. Nothing for me to do. Now, that's the gospel. That is the gospel. We have a very simple message. There was a young preacher who had brought a message that he was quite impressed with over in England, and he was walking back with an old preacher, and the old preacher wouldn't say anything to him. It kind of reminds me of after service with my wife, and she doesn't say anything. I'm thinking, what's wrong? And he didn't say anything, and so he said to her, he said to this older preacher, he said, what'd you think of my message? He said, well, it was a very poor message. The guy was shocked. He said, was there any false doctrine in it? No. It's good. What about my speech? Wasn't my speech good? Didn't I? Yeah, it was great. Well, what about my illustrations? Well, they were very good. He said, well, what was wrong with it? He said, you didn't preach Christ. He said, well, Christ wasn't in the text. said, young man, every road leads to London, and every text leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the job of the preacher is to get right there. We have a very simple message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you but that. We have a very simple doctrine. The doctrine of Christ. Now, simple. Someone says, you're saying the Bible's simple? Well, the Bible, it's mysterious. It's revelation. But the gospel, it's the doctrine is simple. Let me show you this. Turn to 2 John. Now, all the doctrines of the Bible make up the one doctrine of Christ. And if I leave out any, or if I add any, I no longer have the doctrine of Christ. But look at the simplicity of this. I'm amazed by this. Look in verse 7. For many deceivers, 2 John chapter 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now look back up in verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now there is the doctrine of Christ. That's simple. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now you know what I confess? When I confess that, I confess He was before He came. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was, eternally was, in the beginning with God. I confess the eternal Son of God. And I confess He came in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. Now, somebody says, everybody believes that. Well, I don't know if they do or not, but not only do I confess that He was before He came, and He came in the flesh, but He did what He came to do. And that is everything we believe. That's the entire message of Scripture. Don't you love the simplicity of this doctrine? It's simple. It's simple. I know I can't believe it unless He gives me the grace, but it's easy. It's simple. There it is. Oh, the simplicity of the doctrine of Christ. Now, there's a lot of doctrines in the Bible. All of which make the doctrine of Christ. But we talk about election. We've been talking about election. I heard your pastor speak about it so much in that message. Well, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, this is so glorious. God didn't pick me and then give me to His Son. I've always been in the Son. Christ be my first elect, He said. Then chose us in Him, our living head. Redemption. I need redeemed. Redeemed by His blood. Justification. I love thinking about being justified. I used to try to define justification as just as if I never sinned, but that's not good enough. It's not just as if I never sinned. If I'm justified, I never sinned. And this is what happens to people in Christ. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law, God's Ten Commandments. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. Did He do it? And in Him is no sin. And that means if I'm in Him, I have no sin. Now, I got a black cloud all over my head all the time. All the time. There's never a time when I don't. But look what verse 6 says. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever abideth in Him. Now, what's it mean to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's say all of God's favor and all of God's blessing and all of God's mercy is in this room, and there isn't anything but wrath outside of this room. Where do you want to abide? You want to abide in this room. And you don't want to be found anywhere else. When God passed through Egypt to destroy the firstborn, if you were in one of those houses with the blood over the door, would you stick your head out? Would you stick a finger out? No! You want to be in the house with the blood over the door. And you don't want to be anywhere else. You desire to be nowhere else. Whoso abideth in Him, what's it say? He doesn't sin. It doesn't say it's as if He doesn't sin. It says He sinneth not. If Christ didn't sin, I didn't sin. Abiding in Him. Now that's called justification. Not just as if I never sinned. You know, I'd hear that and I never really felt comfortable with it. I'd hear preachers say it. No. It's not good enough for me just as if I never sinned, because if, just as if I never sinned, I really sinned. But here, I sin not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by His righteousness. Called by His grace. Sanctified in Him. Accepted in the Beloved. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Now, I have a simple ground of forgiveness. Now, I believe my sins are forgiven. All of them. And I've got a simple ground. Only one ground. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for what? Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He didn't forgive you because you asked for forgiveness. He didn't forgive you because you were sorry for your sin. He forgave you for Christ's sake. Turn to Psalm 106. I want to show you a couple of scriptures. Psalm 106. In verse 6, the psalmist says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Now that's confession, isn't it? Would to God that you and I would confess our sin like that. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They were stupid. They were spiritually stupid. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. They were ungrateful, unthankful. But they provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They provoked him with their sins. Nevertheless, he saved them. Why? For his name's sake. That he might make his mighty power known. Turn to Isaiah 43. Verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise, but
And God's speaking to His people here. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Now, how in the world can the Lord not remember my sins? He's got a very accurate memory. He remembers everything. How can He not remember my sins? The only real way He can not remember my sins is if there's nothing there for Him to remember. And that's what forgiveness is. It's not just, well, I'm letting it go. No, my sins are blotted out. They're gone. They're canceled. I have a simple reason for not being condemned. Very simple reason. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not? What could possibly prevent Him from freely giving us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I have a simple cause of salvation. By grace are you saved. I have a simple ground of assurance. Now, I have assurance. As soon as I say that, I start wondering, but I do have assurance. Understand this. Faith is not assurance. Faith is believing that Christ is the Son of God. I love when the Ethiopian eunuch said, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe," but notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, "I believe I'm saved." He didn't say, "I believe that Jesus Christ died for me." He didn't say, "I believe I've been born again." He didn't say, "I believe I'm one of the elect." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's faith. Now, assurance is believing He died for you. Now, how can I be assured that He died for me? He didn't die for everybody. He only died for the elect. How can I be sure that He died for me? I want some assurance. I want to know He died for me. How can I know? Well, the Scripture says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. You ought to hold on to this. And it's worthy of all acceptation. Everybody ought to rejoice in this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Are you a sinner? That's the only question I got to ask. Are you a sinner? Now, what does the Bible mean by sinner? Are you a sinner? Let me tell you what the Bible means. According to the Bible, a sinner, he's the one who commits the sin. God loves the sinner, but He hates his sin. Where'd you ever find that in the Bible? God does not put sins in hell. He puts the ones who committed the sins into hell. Sinner. Well, what's a sinner? Well, we just read sin is the transgression of the law. Sin's breaking God's law. And a sinner is somebody who all they do is break God's law. That's all they do. When they look at God's law and they look at themselves, all they see is, I've broken it. I've not kept one commandment one time. A sinner
is someone who cannot not sin. Try not sinning. Go 5 seconds with a perfect mind. You can't do it. A sinner is someone who can't look down their nose in moral superiority to anybody. Nobody. A sinner is someone who has no rights with God. If God passes me by, if He doesn't save me, if He lets me go to hell, just and holy is His name. He's right, just, and true. Now that's a sinner. If you're a sinner, Christ died for you. Because He said He came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am the chief. I have a simple faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising, counting as nothing the shame that He experienced in bearing my sins, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father, looking unto Jesus. Now that's so simple. Why? I don't see Him. It's because you're not looking. If you look, you'll see. And if you don't see, you've never looked. Well, what was Moses called upon to do? He held up that brazen serpent, and what did they have to do? Look. That ain't hard. Look. Now, it's impossible if God doesn't give you the grace. I realize that, but it's not. Look. You look to Him. You look to Him in His life. You look to Him in His death. You look to Him in His resurrection. You look to Him in His intercession. You look. You look. You're just looking unto Jesus. That's a simple faith. It's not complicated. Yet, anything to it, it becomes complicated. But it's simple. Oh, I love the simplicity of the gospel. I have a simple motive for service. His glory. And any other motive is a wrong motive. I have a simple desire. I've already touched on this. But Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. When God comes looking for me, now I know what we naturally think, because I never will forget one time I was at a swimming pool, and this real religious guy was bawling out his girlfriend. He said, How do you think the Lord will feel if He sees you in that bathing suit like that? And I mean, she was all scared and everything. And I wouldn't want to be found in something like that. I'd like to be found praying or witnessing or preaching or y'all. But Paul said, not me. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. So that all God sees is the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a simple objective. David said, as for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. I have a simple hope with regard to judgment. I'd like you to look at this scripture with me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Verse 17. 1 John chapter 4. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, can you imagine having boldness, standing before a thrice holy God with boldness, with confidence, not being scared? How? Because as He is, so are we in this world right now. Is He holy? So am I. Is He altogether righteous? So am I. Is He lovely to the Father?
so am I. Is he accepted? So am I. As he is, so are we in this world right now. Now, that's my simple hope. You know, I've got one hope. My hope is that Christ died for me. Now, that's the only hope any sinner ever needs. It's Christ that died. That's the only answer I need. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. That's my hope. That's my hope. And you know, heaven actually is quite simple. Being with him, beholding his face, beholding his glory. That is heaven. It's not floating around on a cloud. It's being with him. It's singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." I love to think of how often does John call the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation the Lamb? The Lamb. Now, when he's talking about the Lamb, he's not talking about something with wool and so. He's talking about the Lord in his sacrificial character. In heaven, I will have not even the remembrance of sin. I won't even remember what it's like to be a sinner. But I'm going to look at the Lamb. And I'm going to know the only reason I'm there is because of him. That is heaven to the believer. Oh, the simplicity. It's not complex, it's not compound. The simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Pastor.